I'm ready for what I came for this morning. Amen. I came to just love on Jesus and to get into His Word because His Word gives us life. Amen. Before we get into His Word, I know we just prayed, but I'm going to pray right now because God has really laid a strong message on my heart. And I'm going to try my best to get through this, but I'm going to tell you right now, that this message today is just as much for me as it is for you, or at least I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that it's for you as well. And I'm not boring you with the message just for me, but if so, please entertain me, would you? Just say, go, Pastor Jack, go, Pastor. But I do. I want God to move in our lives, and I want God to move in our midst today. You see, you didn't get up and get dressed and brush your teeth, hopefully, and brush your hair, and get in your car, and drive all the way here and get out so that you could just come in here and play patty cake, did you? Did you come this morning hungry for God's Word? I'm hungry this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I give this service to you. Father, I ask that you would look past my faults and my failures, my sins. And Lord, that you would forgive me of all of those. And right now, in this moment, God, that you would anoint me to speak today. Lord God, let me speak exactly what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that they would hear exactly what they need to hear. God, I pray that this message would motivate and encourage each and every person in this room like it has motivated and encouraged me this week as I've studied and prepared. Lord God, move in our midst today. Father, don't let a person go out of this door unchanged by you. Let us be more like you when we leave than we were when we came in. And I ask this right now in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, now we're going to get in this, and I'm going to try to get through this, okay? And y'all, you guys know me. I'm a crybaby, but I can't help it. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us right now in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Whew. How y'all doing? Are y'all better than me, I hope? I'm a hot mess this morning. Jesus has been working on me all week, and I think he's still in the ringing stage. He's not the hanging out to dry yet. So anyways, how many of you this morning would like to say that you generally, just generally speaking, you say, I want to do what's right. In every area of my life, I want to do what's right. How many of you would say that? Raise your hand for me. All right, if you're watching online, type that in the comments. I want to do what's right. And, you know, I would love to say that I always do what's right. Man, I'd love to be able to say that, but I can't because the fact is a lot of times I don't. And if I'm just transparent with you today, I just want to tell you a quick story about one of my moments where I just wasn't obedient all the way. So not too long ago, Sadie and Shelly and I were leaving church, and we were going home, and as y'all know, we live quite a ways away, and so anyways, we're driving down the road, and I didn't drive because I was tired, and I told the girls, I need a nap. I'm going to sleep on the way home, and so Sadie, she got behind the wheel, and she's driving, and I'm back there pretending to be asleep or, you know, just trying to relax, and it wasn't long before I hear Sadie, or Shelly, she said, Sadie, why are you speeding? And boy, Sadie answered her pretty quick. I'm not speeding. And Shelly answered her even quicker. She said, well, is 74 the new 70? And then at that very moment, Sadie said, well, Dad always sets his cruise on 74. And at that very moment, I knew what to do, the right thing to do was. You see, the right thing to do is I should have quit pretending to be asleep and set up in my chair and just say, well, now, Sadie, you know what? I'm sorry that I've been a bad example and I shouldn't have been speeding. And from this moment on, Sadie, I'll never speed again. But that's not what I did. I laid there and pretended to be asleep a little bit more as the conversation progressed. And then... And then some was laughing because they know me too well. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to end this so I can get back to sleeping. And I just sat up and I said, Sadie, do as I say, not as I do. And then I shut my eyes and I laid back in that seat again. And it was at that moment that as I was trying to pretend to be asleep again, that the Lord began to shake me a little bit. And I began to realize, you know what? How many times do I do that with God? How many times do I do that with God? You see, I want to do the right thing, and I know the right thing, and what it is, and what it's going to take to do it. But there's sometimes I just talk myself out of it. And I can't help but think that maybe there's some of you in here that are just like me this morning. You actually want to do what God's asking you to do, and you say, you know what, God, I'll do some of it, and I'll do most of it, but I just can't do all of it. It's so inconvenient. It's too taking up too much of my time, or I'm not that talented, or I don't have that in me. And we make up an excuse, and it's easy for us to begin to talk ourselves out of it, isn't it? And so... anyways, this morning, I want to continue a message that I started last week, and I called it Christian-y. And we talked about being Christian-y. And I defined that as someone that has a half-hearted faith that wears the label of Christian without truly following Jesus. Sort of Christian, almost a Christian, Christian-y. And that's what we were talking about. And for myself, I think that one of the most common qualities that people that are Christian-y have in common is this. And the reason I know it is because I've been Christian-y before. When I was growing up, I was Christian-y. I was sort of a Christian, almost a Christian. I was Christian-y. And so I know this quality because I've seen it in myself and I've seen it in other people that are Christian-y. And this quality is selective obedience, okay? And like, we're going to do what God's word tells us to do as long as it just doesn't require too much of me. Or I'll do it if it doesn't require too much of my time or if I have a better plan. Sometimes when God gives me a plan, he tells me something to do, I'm like, oh man, what if we did it this way? It'd be so much better. You know, and so I sometimes find myself and I think to myself, you know, I have a better plan. And sometimes I think, well, I'm just in a hurry and I'm going to go 74 instead of 70. You see, it's selective obedience. And I define selective obedience this way. It's the dangerous illusion that doing some of what God commands is enough when it is really disobedience in disguise. Everybody say obedience. All right, obedience is a tricky subject for us. For example, some of you people, you just love the rules, don't you? How many of you would say that following the rules is your love language? Raise your hand. You got one, two, we got a few, four, five, six. We got a few of you that following rules is your love language. But I would say that for most of us, not so much, right? And I would tell you guys to raise your hands, but you probably won't because you don't want to, right? But I think also following the rules, how many of you would say that rules are just a dare in disguise? You know, I'm just, man, it's just daring me to break it. You know, when I was a knucklehead kid, I think that was me right there. You just want to break those rules. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to take a look at these, at three different verses. I've picked out three verses for us. We're going to look at those, and they're verses that talk about obedience. All right? And so I want to look at these verses, and I want to look at all three verses and see what they have in common. All right? They have two things in common, and I want to see if you can find them. All right? So the first verse that I want us to look at is Deuteronomy 5:33, and it says, walk in obedience to some of what the Lord... Wait, no, is that what it says? Okay, no, walk in the obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper. All right? So he wants us to walk in all obedience. Let's look at the next verse, Exodus 19, verse 5, and it says this. God says, he says, now, if, he must be thinking of me because sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. But now, if you obey me partially, fully, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, say the next word with me, then you will be my treasured possession. All right. I want us to look at one more verse. All right. Job 36:11. I want us to look at that. And so it says, if they listen and what? Obey God, then what's going to happen? They will be blessed. All right, so the two things, we're looking for these things that are common in these three verses, and I'm going to answer that for you. All right, the first thing that I think is the commonality in these is that God is asking for our full obedience. In all three scriptures, he's asking for our full obedience. If you'll obey me completely, is what he's saying. The second thing that we can see in these three verses that they have in common is that some of God's blessings are conditional. Okay? All right. God is asking for all of our obedience. And these verses, what they're going to do, they're going to show us that some of God's blessings are actually tied to obedience. All right? And now I know for some of you, you're thinking, well, Pastor Jack, that sounds a lot like works righteousness. And I want you to understand that is not what this is. And if you don't know what works righteousness is it's basically a belief system that it's like if you work hard enough, if you're good enough, then you can earn the forgiveness of God, or you can work your way into right standing with God. That's what works righteousness is. And I want to be really, 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 really clear this morning. And I hope I'm clear enough. That's not a good theology, all right? That's not the theology that we believe, and we understand. The Bible is very clear that we're not saved by our good works. We're saved by grace through the perfected work of Jesus Christ on the cross, what he did on that cross. We're saved by grace through faith, and that alone. There's no other way to heaven, all right? Everybody say that with me, no other way. All right, so now that we're on that, yet, I want us to see that we are blessed many times because of our obedience. Or I want you to see that God sometimes might withhold blessings when we're in disobedience. Okay? And so we're saved by grace, but we're blessed by God, and many times we're blessed by our obedience. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Say amen. All right, I got you with me for a little bit. Anyways, I want to go just a little bit deeper with this, okay, because I don't want anybody to be misunderstood, all right? So it's like with God, there's two categories, all right? There are unconditional promises, and then there are conditional blessings, all right? Now, there's other things, but I'm talking about these two this morning, all right? And that's what I would call unconditional promises that are true no matter what, okay? When we talk about unconditional promises, I call that it, no matter what, it doesn't change, all right? And so to help me explain that, how many of you in here have kids, all right? If you have kids, you know the power of unconditional promises and conditional blessings. Let me explain, okay? So unconditional promise is to your kid is, son, I love you no matter what you do. Now, I may not like you Monday through Saturday, but I still love you. And as much of a knucklehead as you are, I love you no matter what you do, all right? And as a parent, there's a lot of times that we think that, right? Our kids can do some crazy stuff. But you love your kid because it's an unconditional promise. There's nothing that child can do to make you not love them anymore. But then there are things called conditional blessings, all right? And there's a lot of those in our world with our families and our kids. Like if you'll do your homework, then you can go and hang out with your friends. Or if you'll eat all your food and you'll wipe that bad attitude right off of your face and you'll stop back-talking me, well, then you can go play video games with your friends. You see, there's unconditional promises, I love you no matter what, and then there are conditional blessings. And I want us to take that and I want us to apply it to God and our relationship with God, all right? You see, there's some theologians that call a thing called covenant theology, all right? Covenant theology. And I want us to talk about that for a minute, okay? Because all of God's redemptive plan, his whole plan for redeeming us, is structured around covenants, all right? What happened? We see that Adam and Eve, they were in the garden and they sinned against God. And what they did is they broke the rules, right? They disobeyed. And so God said to them, he said, hey, I love you so much. I have this unconditional love for you. I want to make a covering for you. And what he did is he entered a covenant between Adam and Eve. And we can see all through the Bible that there are covenants. And these covenants, what they are is they're divine agreements between God and mankind. Okay? And so all of the covenants have unconditional promises and they have unconditional blessings. I want to show you a little bit about the covenant theology, some of the covenants. This isn't all of them, but this is a lot of them. Here, the creation covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic, the Davidic, the priestly, and most importantly, the new covenant. And the reason I say that is because we are under the new covenant. We live in the New Testament times. There was the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, and we're in the New Testament times, and we're living under that covenant right there, the new covenant. And so each covenant has unconditional promise, and it also has conditional blessings. And so let's look at the new covenant real quick, because that's where we're at, all right? You see, we're going to look at this, first of all, because it's an unconditional promise. This promise that God has in our new covenant is for everyone. Right? It's an unconditional. It's not for some, but it's true for every one of us this morning. That promise is that Jesus Christ, he died and he rose again, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us, but he did this as an offering of forgiveness of the sins, and he can offer us eternal life for all who believe in him. All are saved by grace through faith. And that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, I said anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to tell you, that's really good news, because that's a promise to any and every one of us this morning. That's the unconditional promise. But now let's look at some of the unconditional blessings that we see. You see, while salvation is a free gift given by God through grace, I want us to see that certain blessings flow from obedience to God, all right? So to be really, really clear again, because I don't want you to understand, you're saved by grace through faith, period, right? Everybody know that? Okay, because this can and could get kind of confusing, but it's only by the grace of God. But God blesses you with special blessings when you and I obey him. And that's why he doesn't just want our partial obedience. God wants our full surrender. He wants all of us. He don't want part of us. He wants all of us. And can I tell you that I think one of the most dangerous things that we're seeing in the church today, not just this church, but the church around the globe, is a whole lot of partial obedience. Like, God, I'll do the parts that I like, the parts that feel good, the parts that I know I can handle. But the rest of it, God, you're just going to have to understand that's not for me. And that's a partial obedience that we're seeing in the church today. And I believe that we need to understand that God is a holy and a just God. And he loves you and me. He loves us unconditionally. And he wants to bless you. And for some people, that may be the very reason that you're not walking in the blessing today that you've been seeking, is because of your disobedience. Now, that's hard to hear. I understand. That's hard to hear. And right now, let's just take a moment if you would, just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Say, Father, Holy Spirit, speak to me right now. Open my eyes and my ears and help me to receive what you're saying to me right now. Because, see, I want to show us one of the people in the Bible, and he's in the Old Testament. I know we're talking about the New Testament and the New Covenant, but this story is going to come from the Old Testament because it just is a great picture, I believe, of someone that represents me and you today. And so we're going to look at Saul in the Old Testament, if you will. And we're going to see a guy, man, he started out really good. Man, he had good intentions. He was going to do everything God wanted him to do. When God anointed him to be king, he had his heart and his mind set. But then over time, he only partially obeyed God. And if you don't know his story, Saul does start out. He starts out as a very humble servant, and he has this heart to obey God. And he was anointed to be the king of Israel. And over time, though, he began to fade, and he made one bad decision, and then that decision led to another, and then you finally see him slowly but surely just drifting away from God. And the reason that happened is because he started prioritizing his own desires above God's will for his life. And man, that's so easy for us to do, isn't it? That's so easy to do. And what he did is he started rationalizing one sin, and then he started rationalizing another, and it eventually started hurting his relationship with God. And so if we watch the story, what we see is we see a guy that starts out strong, just like you and me. We start out strong, don't we? Man, when we get saved, we're on fire for the Lord. Man, we're strong. We're out there doing everything he asks us to do. And then eventually, we're just like Saul. And Saul has made one bad decision after another, and he's gotten further and further away from God. And then we see that Saul is actually consulting with witches and listening to demonic voices. And you kind of ask yourself, you have to say, man, how'd that happen? I mean, how do you go from genuinely wanting to live for God and to please God and obey God to listening to demonic voices and completely destroying your life? You think, how did I get there? I want to tell you the answer to that is really simple. It's a short answer. You do it one step at a time. One moment of rationalizing a sin, and then another moment of saying, you know what? I'm just going to do it my way today. I'm going to do it this way. I think this is a better way. Or saying, God, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but that but always gets in there, doesn't it? But this isn't very convenient for me right now. I've got other things. I've got more on my plate to do than I can already handle. Maybe you should give that to someone else. And so we start seeing that we start talking ourselves out of it just like Saul did. And so we see this example in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And that's where we see the story. And you can read it. I'm not going to read all of it to you today. But you're going to be able to see when you read this story how God told Saul. He said, Saul, I need you to go and I need you to attack the Amalekites, because I'm telling you, these people are wicked. And so whenever you attack these people, Saul, I want you to destroy everything. He didn't say some of it, part of it, most of it. He said, I want you to destroy everything, because that's how evil they were. And so then what Saul did is he started out obeying. Yeah, he started out great. Man, he started out, he gathered 200,000 troops and he attacked the Amalekites, and he was doing everything God wanted him to do. He was obeying God until he didn't. All right? Verse 7 tells us, we can look at verse 7 here, it tells us, then Saul attacked the Amalekites. Okay, so he's doing what God told him to do right there, right? God told him to go and attack them, so he did. But then, all right, here we go. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. Uh-oh, he's not obeying now. He's starting to do it his own way. He's got a different plan than what God has, because God told him to do what? Destroy what? Everything. That's right, all of it. And it says, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. And so we see that Saul, he did what God asked him to do for a little while, didn't he? But then he looked up And he probably saw these really good-looking sheep, and he saw a whole herd of just healthy cattle over here. And I can only imagine that Saul probably heard this familiar whisper that you and I hear sometimes. And it probably said something along this line. It probably said, "Hey, Saul, don't you think you've already done enough good things for God? You've already done enough. You've destroyed almost everything that God asked you to do. But, Saul, look at these animals. Man, they're healthy. They're so valuable. God wouldn't want you to be a bad steward, would he?" See how the devil probably puts a little bit of God's word in there? He's like, "He wouldn't want you to be a bad steward, would he? You need to take them. You need to do something else with those." And so Saul, like so many of us, he starts rationalizing. He starts trying to talk himself out of it and devise a better plan than God had for him. And so he comes to the idea and he says, "You know what I do? I think you're right. I think we'll keep them. And then what we'll do is I'll make a sacrifice to God. And that sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? And then maybe God won't be mad at me. I did most of everything he wanted me to do, didn't I?" And so he gets to that point. And we see that the devil has whispered into his ear. And you know what? That same voice tempts all of us. We've all heard that whisper from the devil, where disobedience always starts with a whisper. Like the one that I hear sometimes. Like, "Hey, Pastor, you're so important. You got very important things to do today. It's okay. Go 74 instead of 70. And then we start compromising. And you know how it goes. That voice tells each and every one of us different things. Sometimes that voice will tell you, it says, "Just go ahead and look. Just one look. It won't hurt. Nobody's going to know. Or just go ahead and take that. You deserve it. You've worked hard. You just take it. Everybody else does it. And so you take something. Or go ahead and just say it. They deserve a good tongue lashing. Just say it. Or go ahead and just do it. It's no big deal. It's just one time, right? Just one time, right?" But here's the problem. Disobedience is rarely a one-time event. When you do it once, you think, "Well, I've already messed up, so I might as well have a party. Like, I've already lost my virginity, so I might as well just go out and party. You know, I've messed up." But disobedience is rarely a one-time event. And here's what happens. What you allow in the moment often owns you in the future. Say that again. What you allow in the moment often owns you in the future. You think to yourself, "Oh, it's no big deal," and so you let it into your life. And then one day you realize that that one act of disobedience has now turned into two, and now it's three, and now four, and it takes you to places that you never even wanted to go. And you just thought it was going to be that one look, but then it was just one look too many. You thought it was just going to be that one drink, or that one bet, or that one hit, until it cost you your marriage. You think it's just that one time. Or you thought, "Well, you know what? Hey, they deserve it." And so you start raising your voice. And the next thing you know, the people in your family and in your life that you love the most, they don't feel safe around you anymore. And so again, I want to let you know, what you allow in those moments often owns you in the future. And now at the beginning of the message, we prayed and we asked God to speak into us and to convict us today. And so what I want to do is I want to ask you a question that I hope will help you get there. And my question to you this morning is this, is where are you letting sin whisper in your life? God is speaking to us this morning. I believe it with all my heart. He's speaking to me, and I believe he's speaking to you. You see, it could be that some of you this morning, you're partially obeying. You're not taking revenge against that person that hurt you, but you're not forgiving them either like Jesus asked you to. Or it could be that you're not completely neglecting your time with God. You still do that little verse of the day or whatever it is, but you're not spending the time with him that you should. It's more of a check the box type thing than seeking God's face. Or it could be that you're not looking at porn all the time. You're just going over to the gram sometimes, and you're looking at the explore page so you can see if there's any of the, I got to keep up on the latest bikini fashion, you know? And so we start justifying it. We start disobeying, but we don't go all into full disobedience, just like sometimes we don't go into full obedience. And so it takes you to places that you didn't want to go. Or maybe it's taking you in a whole nother direction. Maybe you're not spending too much money. You're in just a little bit of debt, but you're still not trusting God with your tithe. Maybe you're not cheating on your spouse, but you're hiding a few things. There might be someone at work that you're spending a little extra too much time with. You see, Christiany, claiming Jesus, but not being really fully committed and obeying him fully. And so I'd ask you, is there some place that you're letting sin whisper its way into your life this morning? Is there some place where the sin is whispering its way into your life? And once you have that answer, what I want you to do is I want you to look across the room and find somebody you don't know and go share that with them. I'm just kidding. I don't want to do that. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? That'd be crazy. Oh, man. Sometimes I'm too stupid, aren't I? All right. But what I do want you to do this morning after you get that answer is I want you to be open with what God might say to you this morning. Because one of the reasons that you might be struggling is because you don't have a group of people around you praying for you and supporting you. And maybe this fall when we start our connect groups, maybe that's exactly what you need to draw closer to God, is to get into a group where you surround yourself with other believers and people that are walking the same journey as you, and you have that support system. Or maybe you need to join our Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights and get you a sponsor. Yeah, a lot of us are in here that are doing that. And you get a sponsor that you can talk to. You see, the Bible says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. You see, we confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to people for healing. All right? When you read that verse, that's what it's going to tell you. So my question is there an area of your life that you're just partially obeying and you're rationalizing it every day? And this is what Saul was doing. Saul was rationalizing it. And so God sent the prophet Samuel to him. And Samuel didn't pull any punches with him. He's like, hey, man, you're better than this. Why are you sinning? Why are you disobeying? I don't understand. And what do you think Saul did? You think Saul did like most of us would do? We'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. No, Saul did what most of us would do, and he doubled down on his disobedience. We can see it here. We can see it in 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 and 21. Let's see what he says here when he's doubling down on his disobedience. So Samuel's called him out on it. He's like, man, why are you being disobedient? And he says, but I did obey the Lord. You see, Saul went on the mission. The Lord assigned him. So he was obeying the Lord partially, wasn't he? But he says something that's not true in the next verse there, the next words. He says, I completely. Boy, now that's not the truth, is it? He says, I completely destroyed the Amalekites. And then he says, I brought back Agag, their king. So he tells on himself. I partially obeyed you. I did what you said, but then I brought back the king. I didn't do it all. And so after he does that, then he starts blaming everyone around him. You look here and he says, the soldiers. So now these are his men, his people, and he's throwing them under the bus. He's like, the soldiers, they took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, and the best of what, where am I at here? I lost my verse. The best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. And what I want us to see here is that there's a turn in Saul's affection towards the Lord. If you read Saul's writings and Saul's words, most of the time he would say, "The Lord, my God." But now that he's sinned and he's rationalizing and he's disobeying and he knows it, now he's starting to distance himself from the Lord. He says, "The Lord, your God," at Gilgal. Because here's the deal. Sin never needs a good reason. Sin just needs a good excuse. And that's what he's doing, is he's making an excuse. He says, not the Lord my God, but the Lord your God. So he's distancing himself. Because every sin that we justify, it builds a wall between us and God. God's word is very plain when it says, it just says in there that, my goodness, where did I go through? Oh, sin separates us. Sin separates us from God. And so the Bible's plain about that. And so what he's doing is he's building, every time we justify sin in our life, we're just building a wall between us and God, and we're separating us from God. And so it's almost like every time we're saying, "God, I'm putting something here between us." And that's exactly what Saul was doing in our story today. And so I want to tell you that there's this unconditional promise for you this morning, where God loves you and he wants to bless you. He loves you and he wants to bless your obedience this morning. But we look at Saul and we can see where Saul is still making excuses. Here in verse 22, Samuel replied to him. After Saul made his excuse, this is what God told the prophet to say to him. He says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" And then he answers his own question. He doesn't wait for Saul to answer, but he just gives him the answer. He says, "To obey is better than sacrifice." Everybody say that. To obey is better than sacrifice. So why does God love for us to obey him? It's because he loves us. He loves us. And he loves our obedience. God loves it when we obey him. Because just like every act of disobedience puts a wall between you and him, every act of obedience demonstrates our love that we have for the one that first loved us. God, I'm loving you and I'm obeying you this morning. That's my heart. You know what the love of God is? We can find out what the love of God is. It's not just worship. It's not just following him some of the time. It's obedience. When we look at 1 John 5, 3 and 4, it says this. It says, "This is the love of God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world." You see, the commands of God, they're not confining and restricting. They're freeing and liberating. And that's why the love of God causes us to obey him, and it brings us into a place of obedience. You see, love and obedience, they're inseparable in our relationship with Jesus. They're inseparable. And so what does God do? God loves you and he loves me unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. And so his love motivates you and me so that we want to obey him. And then because of our obedience, then God sees that and he wants to bless us. And then he pours out his blessing, and that causes us to love him even more and want to obey him even more. And so our life starts to see spiritual maturity. And it's all from saying, "I want to follow you completely, fully. I don't want to be partially obedient. I want to be obedient completely this morning." And when you do that, you're not going to be conformed to the patterns of this world anymore, but you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you transform and get the renewing of your mind? It's through the reading of God's word, spending time with him, listening to him, obeying him, and then you can be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And so then when we become more like him, we want to serve him and we want to be obedient to him, not because we have to, but because we want to. We love it We love to be obedient because it puts a smile on our Savior's face. It makes him happy. And so I want to ask you to be open this morning to what the Holy Spirit might be saying into your life right now. What's the Holy Spirit speaking into you this morning? Because I'm going to tell you, he's been speaking. He's been speaking to me all week. And I'm so thankful. Because you see, whenever God is still working on me, that means he's not done with me. When he's still working on you, he's not done with you. He wants to bring you and I into a relationship with him that is so spiritually mature that we just obey in an instant. We don't have this delayed obedience. You see, delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. And disobedience is a sin, and that separates us from this God that loves us, that has this unconditional promise that says, I love you no matter what. No matter where you are in your life, in your relationship, I love you. And so how do we end up so far from God? We do it one step of disobedience at a time. How do we find our way back to God? One step of repentance is all it takes. One step saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And whenever I want you to understand this, when you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He'll draw near to you. God, he draws near to you because he loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And he's never going to stop loving you, no matter what you do. Whenever we're seeking his face and we're trying to be obedient and we're going all in, let me tell you, when that happens, then we're not Christian-y any longer. You see, we're devoted. We're not perfect, but we're being perfected. Amen? We're fully devoted and we're faithful and we're obedient because God doesn't want our partial obedience. He wants our full surrender this morning. If you would, stand with me all over this place. As a church family this morning, I just want us to be open to what God is saying to us this morning. I just want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit is speaking into your life at this very moment. You see, God wants to say some things to us this morning. God wants to do some things in us this morning. God may want to do something through us this morning. But we have to be obedient. We have to say, I can do that. I got this one. That's me. I'll do that. And when we do that, we become spiritually mature. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Jack, I resonate with what you're saying. I can relate to that. If you were listening to me, I said that I don't always obey him either. I try and I want to, but sometimes the whisper overtakes and I don't do everything he asks me to do. Sometimes I'll do most of it, parts of it, some of it, but not all of it. And it's all disobedience if we're not obeying him. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor Jack? I want to become all in. I want to fully surrender. I don't want to be halfway in and halfway out, partially obeying and sometimes obeying and back and forth. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Jack, I want to walk in the ways of the Lord this morning. I want to become spiritually mature so that I bear fruit, so that whenever I'm at a place that somebody is hungry for the Lord, that I'll have enough fruit to share, and I'll share with them the good news that Jesus has an unconditional promise for them, just like he had for me. He loves them no matter what. There's things in our life that God is asking us to do, not just me. If you're a child of his, he's asking you to do things. He has a plan for you. And it's not to just sit in that seat. That plan is to share the unconditional promise of Jesus with those around us. And he's asking us to do things. But so many times, the whisper gets louder than what we can stand. We talk ourselves out of it. If that's you this morning, you say, Pastor Jack, I want to go all in. I'm not going to ask you to just raise your hand this morning. That's so simple. We can all do that, right? We can all raise our hand where we're at. If you're going to go all in, I want you to go all in this morning. I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to come and line up against the front of this place. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor Jack, I don't want to be partially obedient. I want to be obedient in every area of my life so that in every area of my life, I'm becoming more spiritually mature each and every day so that the fruit is starting to be born in my life and it starts to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts this morning. You see, God wants each and every one of us to be fully surrendered to him this morning. And so for those of you that are down here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Jack, I want to be fully surrendered to Jesus. I don't want to take and be partially obedient. I want to be obedient to the T. I want to follow him to the letter. You know how you do that? You start reading his word. And it begins to unfold your next step. Begins to take you into deeper relationship with him and the deeper and the deeper and deeper. And before you know it, you're becoming and you're looking more like him and less like you. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to look like me anymore. Proud of you. I'm proud of you. You guys have stepped out in faith this morning, believing in this unconditional promise that Jesus loves you so much that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. He's with you always, everywhere you go. He loves you that much. And you're here this morning and you're saying, I want to receive that love. I want to surrender fully. Some of you have already asked him into your life. You've been living for him for a while, but you're like me. Some are partially obedient at times. I can tell you, that doesn't make me proud to say that. It embarrasses me. But I'm going to confess it this morning because I want to be better. I'm all in. I want to pray with you and just a minute, but I want to speak to you out there for a moment. Maybe the reason you didn't come down here this morning is because you don't know this Jesus. You don't know this unconditional love. You don't know this Savior that died for you on the cross so that you could have life everlasting. And this morning you've heard the message and you thought, you know what? If there's a Savior out there that loves me this way, I want to know him. If that's you and you want to give your heart to Jesus this morning, I just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I want you to just raise your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over them and then I'm going to pray a prayer with everybody and I want us to repeat it in just a moment. Because I don't think that anybody should pray the sinner's prayer alone. So we'll pray with them in just a moment, but I want to pray over you down here that are making a commitment before God and everyone in this room that you are wanting to become fully surrendered, not Christian-y, not almost Christian, not Christian-like, but I want to be a fully surrendered Christian. And a Christian means that I'm a follower of Jesus. Amen. So let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. Father, these people that have got up out of their seat, Father, in faith, believing that you have this unconditional promise for them this morning. Father, that you'll love them, you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them. That God, that there's nothing they can do so bad that will cause you to quit loving them. That's the unconditional promise that they're standing here receiving this morning. But God, they're also standing here as a commitment before you and before everyone this morning, and they're saying, you know what? I want to be sold out. I want to be fully surrendered. I don't want to be partially obedient. I want to be delayed obedient. I want to be obedient to what God asked me to do. I want to walk in the ways that he's designed for me, that he's planned for me this morning. And God, these people are coming to you today, and they're saying, I surrender. And you know, there's that old song, I surrender all. This morning, that's all we have to do is, Father, I surrender all. I give you everything. I give it all to you. Father, I pray that you would let me listen to your voice more than the whisper of the devil. Lord, let me hear your voice loud and clear. And give me a heart. Give me the strength. Give me the desire to be obedient and to say yes and do what you've asked me to do, or to go where you've asked me to go, or to give what you've asked me to give. Father, today help us all to become fully surrendered Christians, not Christian-y, but fully devoted Christians this morning.